fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. With 35 days until the World Cup kicks off in Russia, the 32 teams in football's premier event are continuing their preparations. And that 35-day countdown reminds me, 35 is also the number of players the teams must name to their provisional World Cup squads by May 14th. And then each team's final squad of 23 players must be submitted by June 4th. Nigerian football fans are eager to know the fitness levels of members of their World Cup-bound team, the Super Eagles. In early April, a few Nigerian players suffered injuries that created concern about their availability for the World Cup. Toyin Ibitoye is the media officer of the Super Eagles. In an interview with reporter Iron Mike Imbonye in Lagos, Toyin said officials of the team are monitoring the players and there's nothing to fear about injuries.
Yeah, we have a month and a few days more now to the World Cup. We have our boys, some of them recovering from injuries, some already training. Liam Balogun, Edionazi already playing. Tyron, we expect him to be back any moment from now. Ndidi will be back in a few days, or maybe a week or two from now. Generally speaking, we have nothing to worry about in terms of our boys because those who are recovering have been well monitored, and the results and the reports from the medical team. Team doctor of the Super Eagles, Ibrahim Gyaran, and the team physio, Nnemeka Anozie, is very, very positive. We have no reason to be afraid. We have no reason to fret. The reports are good. These guys are going to be ready. Not just ready, they're going to be 100% in tip-top shape when the World Cup begins.
And for the international friendlies, what's your take on them? How many more do we have to go before the World Cup?
Yeah, we have three more games to play before the World Cup, and for the first time in a long while, we played about six friendly games, each to achieve a purpose in team building and in helping us to prepare for the teams we will face at the World Cup. Right from our first game against Argentina, to the one we played against Poland, to the one we played against Serbia, to the game we're going to play against Congo DR, which is a send-off game in Nigeria. To the one against England on the 2nd of June and the one against the Czech Republic on the 6th of June. All these games are tailor-made. They have something to achieve in the team. And everything is going perfectly well. And I think it's a kudos to the Nigerian Football Federation. The board and the secretariat have worked so hard to be able to get all of these things together. To the technical crew, led by Coach Gernot Rohr, for the planning. There's a lot of planning, working with the whole wide network of scouts to prepare the team, monitor the opposition, to mentally and physically prepare our team, sending fitness coaches to work with players who are recovering from injury and get them in tip-top shape in quick time is a lot of work. And we must commend Coach Gernot Rohr and those working with him for making that possible.
Talking about scouts, would there be need to invite new players to the camp for the World Cup?
Yeah, as I speak to you now, the coaches are putting finishing touches to the provisional list from which our final squad for the World Cup would be released. I know a lot of extensive work has been done. I won't be surprised if Coach Gernot Rohr sticks with those he has already been working with. And I would also not be surprised if maybe one or two players, based on what they are doing presently, currently, and their shape now, are also able to break in to fight for a place in the World Cup squad. Any of these scenarios is a possibility.
So Nigerians can comfortably be happy that the Super Eagles are well prepared for the World Cup?
Very well prepared. Every issue that could be a distraction has been taken care of a long time ago. So the boys can focus just on their football. And we are happy with the attitude, with the hunger, the commitment in this present squad of players. Excellent blend of youth and experience. We are very happy. Our team is young, very strong, very intensive. They can play at high tempo for a long time. And the coaches have done a lot of work. And we are combining work with prayer to have the luck to be able to go all the way. We just want to achieve something good, something great for Nigerian football, and I believe we can do it in Russia.
That's Toyin Ibitoye, the media officer for Nigeria's World Cup-bound national football team, the Super Eagles. And Toyin was talking with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye in Nigeria's commercial capital, Lagos. The Super Eagles will be making their sixth World Cup appearance. Their best result is reaching the round of 16 at three World Cups, USA 1994, France 1998, and Brazil 2014. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Four-time African Footballer of the Year, Yaya Toure of Ivory Coast, played his final home match for Manchester City Wednesday night, and the fans at the Etihad Stadium thanked him for his eight seasons with the club, and Man City was victorious 3-1 over Brighton. Yaya's farewell appearance coincided with Man City setting the English Premier League record for most points, most goals, and most wins in a single season. Much of the evening, for those wearing Man City's sky blue colors, was devoted to paying tribute to Toure, who celebrates his 35th birthday on Sunday. The rugged midfielder's name was replaced with the word legend on the team sheet, and Man City supporters sang songs honoring Yaya. For his part, Yaya wore the captain's armband for Man City and played 86 minutes before being replaced by 19-year-old English striker Lucas Enepcha. English Premier League champion Manchester City has a record 97 points, two more than Chelsea's total from the 2004-2005 season, a record 105 goals, two more than Chelsea's haul from the 2009-2010 season. And Pep Guardiola's team also has a record 31 wins, surpassing the previous record of 30 set by Chelsea last season. Guardiola said it was wonderful to set the records on a night fans said goodbye to Yaya Toure. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Now let's go down under, where a former Australian rules player is preparing to take legal action against the Australian Football League, or AFL. Joining us now with that story is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Hi, Gwen.
Hey, Sonny. Joel Wilkinson spoke in front of the Australian press on Thursday and said the world is watching his case against the AFL over what he calls systemic racism.
I have suffered extreme racism during my time in the AFL and post my career from the AFL until this very day. This intensified when I tried to stop it from occurring and repeatedly occurring to others. I am here to hold the AFL accountable and stand against injustice. My career was taken from me, my rights violated due to racism, religious vilification, and racially motivated sexual harassment that I experienced for many years. This is not acceptable in the workplace.
The 26-year-old Wilkinson, who is of Nigerian descent, was subjected to racial abuse in his first AFL game as a teenager in 2011. As a result, an opposing player was fined. In the following season, a fan was banned in another racial incident, and Wilkinson says the racism continued.
Let me make it clear. this isn't a past issue. This is very present. Happening now, and many players in the system have experience of racism similar to mine. This is extremely systematic across the AFL. The AFL enables and acts as the head of this system. The corporate community and the public must ask questions.
Will Barsby, the lawyer defending Wilkinson, said the lawsuit will be filed at the Australian Human Rights Commission. Barsby also said former players have been in contact with him after hearing about the case. The issue of racism has been a long-standing stain on the Australian sport, and through the years, the AFL has worked to stamp out racism on the field. The league established the Indigenous Round to celebrate the contribution and culture of Indigenous players in the league. Moving on to soccer, former Manchester United manager Alex Ferguson is out of intensive care. Ferguson underwent emergency surgery on Saturday for a brain hemorrhage. In a statement, Manchester United said Sir Alex will continue his rehabilitation as an inpatient. Ferguson was the manager for United from 1986 to 2013 and has been deemed the most successful manager in Manchester United's history. Under his leadership, the football club won the Champions League twice, the Premier League 13 times, and won a total of 5 FA Cups. Ferguson is 76 years old, and I can't leave without quickly mentioning the World Cup. We're counting down to the kickoff in Russia, and with 35 days to go, here's another fun fact. At age 35, Nils Lidholm became the oldest man to score at a World Cup final. The midfielder scored for Sweden in the 1958 final against Brazil. Brazil came out the victor in that matchup, snagging their first World Cup title on Sweden's home field with a 5-2 win. Nonetheless, Nils is regarded as one of Milan and Sweden's greatest players ever. He later became one of Italy's most successful club managers. Nils died in 2007, but he still holds the record as the oldest player to score in a World Cup final. This year's World Cup kicks off on June 14th. And that's all from me. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Nnamdi, let's begin with a Sunny Side of Sports salute for Isaac Dogbe, the new World Boxing Organization super bantamweight champion from Ghana. He got a hero's welcome when he returned home to Accra. Great fight against Jesse Magdaleno. Your thoughts?
Sonny, I mentioned it before the fight that this fight here, we will be talking about it as one of the fights of the year. This is a fight with 4 knockdowns, Sonny.
Action-packed.
Action-packed. Classic matchup of style. You know, I mean, look, Sonny, don't forget this. This is the first alumni of Sunny Side of Sports Awards to win a world title. Remember, Isaac Dogbe was Prospect of the Year. Remember, we picked him before anybody picked him to do anything.
Prospect of the Year, now maybe Fighter of the Year, Nnamdi.
Or Fight of the Year. I mean, look, Sonny, getting off the canvas from the knockdown in round one, Sonny. I mean, come on now. This is his first time to be knocked down.
It was unbelievable. I never thought I was going to go down. But he put me down for the first time. It's a learning curve. And I appreciate, you know, the lessons. It's just a little slip up. He caught me with a good shot. I went down. I got back up, you know, and we finished the job.
And then going back into the fight, able to adjust, dropping the champion with a crushing right hand in the 5th round, and then closing the show in the 11th round. Mind you, all along, he was aggressive. And he's what we call, instead of calling him the Royal Storm, you can also add Body Snatcher.
Body Snatcher. I like that. Yeah, and on that note, Nnamdi, in those latter rounds, I mean, Dogbe just stalked Magdaleno and consistently went to his body.
Sonny, those body shots took away the legs of Magdaleno, because without the legs, the fighter cannot move or perform or even plant his legs to drop his shots. Magdaleno was looking for a way out in the fight. People were talking about the low blow and all that stuff. No! The champion, the African warrior, was on top of him and was right there. He came to fight.
I know you like that phrase, fan-friendly style, Namdi. I think Dogbe has it, the way he fights.
Not only does he have it, he has a charisma. He can talk. There's nothing as exciting as listening to a boxer who can talk, who can break down the fight.
What is next for Isaac Dogbe?
Well, Sonny, remember, he is in the division of super bantamweight, or junior featherweight, which is 122 pounds. He's talking about unification, but he don't really have big money fighters in that super bantamweight division. He needs to head up to the featherweight division. When he gets to the featherweight division, lots of superstars right there. But, you know, we have bantamweights that could move up and fight Isaac Dogbe. We have somebody like Zolani Tete, remember, the knockout artist from Eastern Cape, South Africa. That's a good one right there. But he stands a very good chance of dominating that division, and they're moving up to featherweight. And mind you, Sonny, this fight was seen by millions of fight fans, not only in America, in the UK, and in the whole of South America. An action fighter that can deliver the knockout and the knockdown, he comes to fight, he backs it up. This has been missing in boxing for a while. Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao used to deliver those kind of performance in the past. But as they age, we end up seeing them doing 10, 12 rounds of, you know, touch and go. But when you see an African warrior that comes to fight that will stand toe to toe and mix it up with you, fight fans, we love it.
You mentioned Zolani Tete, another Sunnyside of Sports Award winner for his knockout of the year prowess. What's up for Tete?
Tete had just joined this new World Boxing Super Series. This is the second edition of the World Boxing Super Series. At the end of it, the winner of that series will end up pocketing close to $40 million, Sonny.
Mm.
Zolani Tete is a name in that division now, whereby if he wins the tournament and he decides to move up from the bantamweight to super bantamweight, a fight Zolani Tete against Isaac Dogbe, that should be staged in Africa, Sonny.
Well, let's stick with the African fighters, Namdi. You mentioned how some were participating in the Jose Suleiman boxing tournament. How about an update on their performances?
Well, Sonny, we have two Africans, Frederick Lawson from Ghana. He beat up Bashimbo Nasiula from China, 10 rounds, unanimous decision. But the Chinese man flew 14 hours direct from China and went straight into the ring. And homeboy from Ghana was unable to just go in there and destroy this guy and finish him, because hanging there with you for 10 rounds, the guy that just flew in from China into the ring and allowed the guy to back you up and back you up. So if Frederick Lawson plans to win this tournament, he must improve. Then in the second African in the tournament is Chris Van Heerden from South Africa. He took on Timo Schwarzkopf from Germany. Well, another situation where Van Heerden was okay. Timo had him in trouble so many times that if he really needs to improve his game in this tournament, he must work on his defense, because he got waxed a couple of times.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. And we'll hear more hard-hitting boxing commentary from Namdi in the days to come. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
An update now on the National Basketball Association playoffs. Only four clubs remain in contention for the league trophy. They are the Boston Celtics, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Houston Rockets, and the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors. The Celtics edged the visiting Philadelphia 76ers Wednesday night, 114-112, to win that second-round playoff series, 4-1. Jason Tatum, who has played some excellent playoff basketball for the Celtics in his rookie season with the club, made a go-ahead layup with 23 seconds left. Tatum tallied a team-high 25 points in the game. And a couple of his teammates, Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier, added 24 points and 17 points, respectively. And the ages of those three players is why Celtics fans are very optimistic about the future. Tatum is only 20 years old, Brown is 21 years old, and Rozier is 24 years old. The Celtics will host LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers on Sunday in Game 1 of the Best of 7 Eastern Conference Finals. Boston is playing Cleveland for a second consecutive year for a spot in the NBA Finals. The Cavaliers eliminated the Celtics last season 4-1 before going on to lose to the Golden State Warriors 4-1 in the NBA Finals. Meanwhile, the Western Conference Finals will tip off Monday night in Houston, Texas. The Houston Rockets will host the reigning champion Warriors in Game 1 of another Best of 7 series. The Rockets won a league-best 65 games during the regular season, which gives them home court advantage in what should be a very exciting playoff series. Houston is led by James Harden, the favorite to win this year's League Most Valuable Player Award. Harden's backcourt partner is Chris Paul, a 9-time NBA All-Star. The Rockets know that Harden and Paul will have to be at their very explosive best to offset the high-powered offense of the Warriors, who feature 2-time League Most Valuable Player Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Kevin Durant. In the words of Warriors coach Steve Kerr, and I quote, "We know they are a great team. We know they are ready and will be ready for them." Once again, Game 1 between the Warriors and Rockets in the Western Conference Finals will be Monday night in Houston, Texas. In more NBA news, 5-time All-Star Paul George had arthroscopic surgery on his left knee. The procedure was done in Los Angeles, California. The 28-year-old George is expected to resume off-season basketball activities in about 6 to 8 weeks. Paul George and the Oklahoma City Thunder were eliminated in the first round of the NBA playoffs by the Utah Jazz 4-1. The Jazz then advanced and they ultimately lost to the Houston Rockets 4-1 in the NBA playoffs. So we wish Paul George a speedy recovery from his knee surgery. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a photo of the ever-youthful Nnamdi Moeta, our reigning prince of pugilistics, who we heard from earlier in the show. Kenechukwu Enkwor, writing from Enugu, Nigeria, says, "That's my brother Nnamdi right there. Nice to have Nnamdi back on the show." And Alex Bello writes from Namdi's birthplace of Jos, Nigeria. Alex simply writes, "The Prince of Pugilistics, still looking very, very young." And that wraps up the May 10th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Wojciech Zorniak. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
One day after World Press Freedom Day and 10 days before a referendum vote that could change presidential term limits, the government of Burundi announced on Friday, May 4th, that it would suspend Voice of America's FM broadcasts for 6 months, effective Monday, May 7th. Burundi's National Communications Council, which issued the ban, accused VOA and the British Broadcasting Corporation of breaching laws regulating the media and engaging in so-called unethical conduct. The council issued a warning to Radio France Internationale, accusing it of dishonest reporting about possible reprisals against those calling for a no vote in the referendum. We are dismayed by the actions taken today by the Burundi National Communications Council to ban VOA from broadcasting its news and information programs, said VOA Director Amanda Bennett. Our audience members count on VOA to provide factual, unbiased, and objective coverage of current events, so this ban deprives the citizens of Burundi of a trusted news source during a critical time in that country. VOA content will continue to be available in Kirundi and Kinyarwanda via shortwave channels, on the internet, and on FM transmitters located in neighboring countries. VOA reporters on the ground reported on Monday morning that the suspension has been carried out. While the VOA also broadcasts in AM, shortwave, television, and on digital platforms, FM radio is, without a doubt, the most popular means of engaging Burundians, said Broadcasting Board of Governors John F. Lansing in a statement issued on May 7th. They have come to rely on the VOA for unbiased and uncensored news and information, Mr. Lansing noted. The BBG will continue to support the people of Burundi by providing reliable and accurate programming, said Mr. Lansing. I urge President Pierre Nkurunziza to reverse this decision. The United States values freedom of the press as a key component of democratic governance, a U.S. State Department official commented. We are disappointed with the actions in Burundi and have raised those concerns directly with the government.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
This is a public service announcement from VOA Africa.
The battle against Ebola does not end when a patient survives the virus. I am Dr. Conde Greaves. Many survivors return home to their villages only to face stigma based on fear and ignorance. We must fight against stigma and welcome Ebola survivors back into our communities. They are no longer contagious and pose no threat to you. Thousands of orphan children also need your support. Imagine losing your mother and father to Ebola. Their tragedy is often compounded by rejection and isolation when they return home. This is wrong. They are not sick. We must welcome orphan children back into our communities. They have suffered enough. We must also respect our healthcare workers. Many have given their own lives so that others may have a fighting chance. Learn the facts about Ebola. Knowledge is life.
This was a public service announcement from VOA Africa. VOA. We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts, covering African news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.